How to Monetize AI, an interview with Nicholas Babin. In today's interview, we sit down with Nicholas Babin to explore the various ways to monetize AI.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
From innovative business models to practical applications, you will discover how you can leverage AI for profit. And please feel free to drop any comments or likes, shares. You can even direct message us about this this very topic, because we've got lots of great resources if you'd like those. So, Nicholas, it's lovely to see you again. If you don't know Nicholas, you probably will be pleased to know he was head of robotics and AI for Sony Europe for quite a few years, and he's actually an EU digital ambassador, and he specializes in technology, digital transformation, and these kind of things. Thank you, Nicholas. It's always a pleasure, like I say, to speak to you.
Same pleasure here. We share together, so I always enjoy talking to you. Thank you.
It's such a fantastic world we're in right now. I mean, personally, you know, I sat on a panel back in 2014 and for IBM, and basically at that time I was actually very, very scared about AI. And this panel was all about AI, and we sat there, and there were lots of influential people there, and I sat down, and that was when I sort of started really deeply thinking about AI. And I was very worried until I read The Second Machine Age, which was a super book around it. And I think there are a lot of people that are very, very scared about their jobs. They're scared about lots of things. But with the amount of research that you can do, it's so possible to save your company money, to make them money, to make yourself a side business or a side hustle, and to improve your life. It's literally a really great time to be alive, providing you actually have access to the internet, hopefully. Yeah. So.
Yep.
So what are you sort of seeing at the moment? Are you finding people are actually leveraging AI to the maximum impact in the big businesses, or are they kind of slowing the situation down because of they don't want to lay off people too quickly?
It's a transition, basically. I see people being on a journey and starting to use AI. They're not slowing it down, but they're not really accelerating the usage of AI. What I see today is that, and that everybody sees, is that AI is transforming every sector that you can think of. But the questions that everybody asks is really how can individuals, startups, or companies make money with it? So I think one important angle that we can talk about during this chat, Nat, is about the business models, the use cases, because there are several of them, and the ethical insights as well around it. So, you know, AI could definitely be a revenue engine. I see this because it can create value at scale. When you talk about automation, personalization, optimization, basically you can use AI in so many areas. Like you can optimize customer experience, therefore get more revenue. You can optimize logistics, spend less money and increase basically customer experience as well. So again, making more money. But basically, AI can really show economic relevance. I just read not a long time ago, and I can't remember the date on that document, but it was a fairly recent document from PwC that said that AI is expected to contribute $15.7 trillion to the global economy by 2030. Wow. And that came from, if I remember correctly, PwC Global Artificial Intelligence Study. And that's absolutely unbelievable. So I see people today really getting into it, but not knowing how to approach it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think some of the businesses, from what I've been hearing, very large businesses are not actually implementing AI very quickly, purely because, like I alluded to, they don't actually want to make people redundant because they can actually get rid of their jobs. And I think whilst that might be very noble, all it takes is some sort of startup or leaner business to come along and actually put them out of business. So I think whilst the opportunity is there, the main thing is they have one eye on the competitors and one eye on the emerging technologies and emerging workflows, right? Because it's all about workflows, isn't it? If you can optimize a workflow by adding in an automation, a smart automation, which is what we're really talking about here, to make more money for the business, and you don't monitor this and actually see what your competitors are doing, there can be a lot of problems, right?
Correct. No, absolutely. And you're right. It's all about workflow. I totally like this analogy. Workflow around product enhancement, where you integrate AI into existing offerings. For example, where you can add predictive features, voice assistance, all these types of features. Workflow around process optimization. You save money, therefore you make money. Again, as I mentioned before, in terms of supply chain, HR, finance, new business models where, for example, you can create new subscription-based SaaS tools, you know, software as a service type of tools, AI as a service, which we see more and more. And that also is a direct link to how to make money with AI. And finally, data monetization, because data is the basis of everything. And so you can use customer insights to build smarter campaigns or products. I've seen this directly, I say firsthand, with a company that I help. I'm actually the chief marketing officer of Affinity Initiative, a UK-based company that does a low-code, no-code type of platform called a bot named Sue. And so with no-code AI, basically, we can generate recurring revenue by enabling others to automate. So any type of companies, even people with only two people or even one, can automate, and not necessarily, they don't need, you know, IT staff, they don't need anything. So they can just use AI, and it's almost have AI as an employee or as an associate. And that's exactly as you said, it's all about workflow all around the company.
Right. Right. I mean, I spoke to Michael Tobin, OBE, who I know as he's been working with me over the last 8 years on a lot of podcasts, actually. We did quite a number. And he was saying he actually has sort of squad teams in his VC firm that he's involved with that jump into existing businesses and just smash them up and say, right, what processes have you got going on? How can we implement this? What can we put into there? Etc. And I like that approach, because I think we can often get stuck within our jobs, within our businesses, and that's why it needs a fresh pair of eyes, you know. And we actually need, right, we need to understand the capabilities of it. I mean, as one example, you know, a few years ago, even 6 months ago, you had a WordPress website, right? And you messed something up on your WordPress site because you were tinkering around with it. This is obviously, you know, marketing people do this all the time. But actually, you don't need to hire a developer now. You can actually go and fix a lot of these common problems yourself. If you mess something up, you just type it into ChatGPT or Gemini, say, I've done this, what do I do? And what's amazing is that it will give you so much amazing in-depth information that you will be saving yourself and your company money, right? Yep. But in terms of actually added business models and added revenue, what sort of innovative businesses are you kind of seeing emerge at the moment?
I mean, to me, the emerging trends and where the opportunity lies, or the opportunities lie, and what I see is around vertical AI. That's definitely something, what I call vertical AI, is, you know, specialized models for all legal, for example, legal, medical, retail, any type of the sectors. I can see also AI agents. We've talked a lot about it, you and I, about autonomous decision-making systems.
We have.
What we call AI copilots is also another trend with embedded intelligence in every workflow. Again, you know, going back to your point earlier. And also open source AI models that enable cheaper MVPs, you know, minimum viable products. What I really see today is the barrier to entry is much lower, but competition is definitely increasing. So what I like to tell people is execution is key. Really is so important to execute fast with a real added value. And that's really what I can see the most.
Right. I mean, I think looking at it through a lens, it's actually very interesting because a lot of people think that they need AI. And to some extent they do, but actually it's not changing the business models as far as, you know, what I'm seeing. But I think there are peripherals that you can do to certainly improve customer experience, like you said, to improve communication with internal and external teams, right? To optimize the workflows for production of content, as one example, right? I mean, the tools that I'm using now are absolutely phenomenal. Whereas, say, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, when I was doing an interview, I had to sit down, I had to plan the topic, I had to think of the topic, I had to research keywords.
I remember.
You remember it took maybe half an hour for us. When now we just talk about the weather, right? And we talk
almost
about life and everything else, right? So.
Yep.
It's amazing how it saves us time. But then, like my father has said for 50 years, I think, you know, work fills available time. So whilst we may have all these opportunities to streamline and this and that, if we're not actually consciously managing our time, then that time just disappears anyway, which is an interesting concept, isn't it?
Totally agree. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love all your father's quotes.
He's an inspiration, my dad. He really is. And he loved your book, The Talking Dog. And if you haven't picked up Nicholas's book, The Talking Dog, you should. It's all about AI. And I hope you're writing a new updated version in the coming years because it's
working
changing.
On it.
Yeah, it's changing, isn't
working
it?
Working progress.
Yeah. But I mean, it's actually amazing how people can use these tools. I mean, I was talking about this the other day. I'm not sure if I told you, but what happened was I wrote this book on personal branding maybe 7, 8 years ago. And I think I gave you a copy. And it's interesting because personal branding hasn't changed, right? Like it hasn't changed, except for you got a load of people that think they know about how to do it. So I thought, okay, how am I going to add value and update my book? And I'm in the process still of updating it. I haven't actually updated it yet for the public to view, but what I have done is I've updated the book so that I've added something called TLDR, which is too long, don't read. So each chapter has now become a too long, don't read. Here is an AI prompt, which you can take and you can manage your personal brand in, I would say, 5 minutes a month or 10 minutes a month or a couple hours a year, right? And I uploaded my book and I actually created this process that used to take me 6 to 8 hours. And now it takes probably 1 hour for me to assist someone with their personal brand. And I helped this amazing coach called Martina Brandes to optimize her personal brand with my newly updated book and then the process map, right? And it probably took 2 hours, and that included actually an hour probably of me being coached by her, which I thought was fantastically interesting. And you know, and Michael Tobin, he's really excited about AI and how you can use it to coach yourself. He likes that, and I've been doing that myself, which is just phenomenal, really. And I think if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't use AI, I really am scared of tech, it's like, well, first of all, why are you watching this? And secondly, you need to just get stuck in, and you need to just take a look at your existing business model and then have a think about what is possible at the moment and how you exactly. can kind of integrate these things. Because there's so much stuff that's possible, isn't there? There's just, it's really, you know, you and I talk about this a lot, and so does Michael Tobin as well, and how in your mind, you're really, your imagination is what's limiting the applications, right?
And another thing that's limiting and it needs to limit is the ethical angle of AI and the ethical monetization of AI. Because I can't, you know, talk about how to monetize AI without talking about the monetization of AI. So, right. And you said it very rightly, you know, business models are still the same and everything. But what's most important with AI is the fact of building trust with customers. You know, that's the basis of everything. And that has not changed, but actually I think it has increased in terms of what's needed today. As you know, I used to work for Sony, and we had the Spider-Man franchise with Sony Computer and Columbia TriStar, sorry. And there was a line that, you know, everybody uses it, so, but I'm going to use it again, is with great power comes great responsibility. I think you've all heard it with the Spider-Man movies. So what's really important is that you need to embed transparency, explainability, fairness into your business models. And that's really, really important, because if you, the risks of unethical monetization, which are like around surveillance, manipulation, bias, it's just huge. So it's really important, because AI monetization should benefit users, not exploit them. And that's the key element. Long-term profitability will be at risk if you exploit, obviously, benefit users. Right. And that's really what you know, I want to talk about, or at least I wanted to mention the fact that you always have an element of ethic that's extremely important with AI. And these are the points that I think should never be overlooked.
It's an interesting one, that, isn't it? Because I've been talking about this the past month. I've been complaining actually about this, because I don't know who actually is responsible, right? And what's interesting is there's like almost a three-tiered responsibility. It could be four tiers, right? Because you've, in essence, you've got the end user, you've got someone else that might have designed some sort of process map. Then you've got a company that's designed some sort of specific application. And then you've got a company that has enabled that application and then funded that application. So you've got five different areas where the ethics can be completely wrong. And it's just right. so then it's a bit of a gray area. It's just like, well, hold on, guys, it's not our problem. Okay, well, no problem. Then it's like the finance guys, well, we did our due diligence. Well, you didn't do due diligence, because, you know, your application can do this, that, and the other. So I'm still a bit lost when it comes to this. And believe me, I've thought about this a lot in the past past month or so. And Stephen and I have talked about it. Michael's talked about it with me. You've talked about it with me. And I don't know, Nicholas, really. I'm still lost. I'm still mad. I'm still angry about certain things, to be honest.
No, I know. And that's why it's important to mention it. It's important for people to understand it, and it's important for people to not only understand, but going beyond that and say, okay, let's live it, let's embrace it.
Yeah. So does the end user have a responsibility?
Yeah, everybody has a responsibility. You mentioned the whole line of responsibility, actually, the end user, the developer, the companies. We all carry responsibility. This is not about saying, oh, hang on, you know, it's not for me, it's for everyone.
Right. Because a few months ago, like you could ask AI to write you something, right? And it would say, so you'd be like, look, can you write me something that's way more persuasive? It's not persuasive enough. You need to be more persuasive. And it said, error, I cannot do that. whereas now, it doesn't say that anymore. So you can write far more persuasive copy than you could 3 months or 2 months ago. And I find it fascinatingly interesting how at that point AI was like, no, 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 we can't let someone write persuasive copy. And now it's like, oh yeah, you can write it. And it's just funny how these things change.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, to me, AI is a gold mine, but it needs to be applied thoughtfully and ethically. That you know, summarizes it all.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And whatever business model you're looking at setting up, just research
it. It's exactly the same. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can just research it. All day long, you can sit there and research things. Well, thank you, Nicholas. It's been a joy. I know you're rushing to a meeting, so I've got to get this ended. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Do go to MondayInfluencer.com because we've got loads of content that we're producing, and we'd love to have you on board with that. So do subscribe to that. Thank you once again.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.